Hi, everybody, and welcome to Unified, a podcast feed from First Church Belmont Unitarian Universalist. We'll be sharing sermons and stories, special thematic content made new every week. We're so glad you're here, and for more information about who we are and opportunities to grow and deepen, swing by the church on Sundays or check out our website at uubelmont.org. And for now, enjoy this new content.
A reading from Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 through 10. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We have heard three scriptural examples of beatitudes today, or supreme blessedness. And we've been surrounded by the words through beautiful music and chanting. And now I want to take a brief moment to honor their traditional contexts and offer us a question to ponder about what the Beatitudes mean for Unitarian Universalists. Before I begin, though, I have to confess that I was not particularly impressed with the Beatitudes in my first many encounters with the text. Chalk it up to insufficient knowledge, perhaps, or appreciation. My most recent read-through of the New Testament was last spring, under the tutelage of a wise and very patient Jesuit priest at Boston College. And I was incredibly moved by many of the stories we encountered. The Beatitudes weren't one of them. So when the idea for this service began to take shape, I was curious. What would I find if I delved a little deeper? And once I did, I was faced with the harder question, how do I do these texts justice in 10 minutes or less? Well, the one thing I can promise is that I'll be leaving us all with more questions than answers. And I know that can be frustrating for us. But we'll begin where we began the service, with Psalm number 1, which tells us that blessings, or in some translations, happiness, will be for those who meditate on the words of the Torah, the law of the Lord. Scholars often attribute the psalm to wisdom literature, which tries to teach how to live a good life. In this psalm, we learn that to live a good life, we must study and meditate on the words of the law. We also heard an excerpt from the Bahá'í La Iaktas, or the Most Holy Tablet, also referred to as the Tablet for the Christians. This tablet from their prophet Bahá'u'lláh, which declares his station as descendant of Christ, concludes with an homage to the Beatitudes, which emphasizes this lineage, this connection to Christ. According to one Baha'i scholar, When Jesus spoke 2,000 years ago, he prepared his followers, those who truly arose to a Christian life, for suffering, counseling his followers to see beyond the external realities of an illusory world. Although Baha'u'llah also draws attention to persecution in his path, and his call is also one to arise to a spiritual life, the primary note of his Beatitudes is one of rejoicing. It's the time of fulfillment. The time of the kingdom is now. These Baha'i Beatitudes are a celebration of the blessings from God. So far we have meditations on laws and celebration of blessings. And now we'll make our way back to the text that we heard most often in this service, which I read moments ago, Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 through 10. This text has been explored by theologians and philosophers for centuries, because similar to Psalm 1, it's seen as instructive, and it's instructing us on how to live a good life, most often spoken by philosophers as morally good life, a morally righteous life. In this verse from Matthew, the author invokes images of Moses when talking about Jesus, an image perpetuated by the setting of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, where these Beatitudes live. However, rather than preaching the law, the commandments, as Moses did, Jesus preaches the Beatitudes, these supreme blessings. As with much of Matthew, much of that book, that gospel, this tie to the Hebrew Bible was very intentional. It's a callback. And it leads many scholars to consider the Beatitudes as a law of sorts in Christianity. Back in the 13th century, Thomas Aquinas believed that the Beatitudes described a number of virtuous actions, the exercise of which is only made possible by the grace of God. To all those observing the new law constituted by the Beatitudes, a reward is promised in the form of eternal happiness. Eternal happiness in the kingdom of heaven, a union with God. This is not language I am used to using in this pulpit. And many of us don't believe this. So what should we do with it? This promise of a reward is especially challenging as universalists in our own history of universalism. We chose to say, no, everyone is saved. This was a reaction to the Calvinist movement that said, similar to the prosperity gospel, that if you were wealthy, you were going to be saved. You know, it showed because you were wealthy. And if you were poor, you weren't going to be saved. So what do we do with that if we believe in universal salvation, if there is still a core of us that ties back to our historical roots? How might these blessings and teachings help us question our own notion of what it means to live a good life? What will you find on your search for truth and meaning? I want to leave you today with a source from our own tradition. Do you remember that story about Theodore and the turtle? Well, that little boy continued his own search for what is right as he grew up to become a Unitarian minister. His name was Theodore Parker. He's a pretty big deal. He became a champion of the defenseless who needed defending. He prayed to Father and Mother God and began to shift how Unitarians understood their relationship to God. The story I shared earlier was from his autobiography, and I don't think that it was an accident that he valued this story of him as a child finding a way to know what is right and exploring where that comes from within him, because it's something that he continued to question and consider for the rest of his life as a Unitarian minister and theologian. So I will close today with a prayer from Theodore Parker that was inspired by his reading of the Beatitudes. We bless thee for thyself, that we know of thine infinite perfections, thy power unending, thy justice all righteous, thy wisdom all knowing, and thy love which blesses and saves mankind with beatitudes which we did not know or dared not ask and could not even dream of in our highest mood of prayer. We thank thee that while thou foldest the great universe in thine arms and carest for every system of suns and stars, not less thou feedest every little plant with sacramental cup from each cloud, holding a blessing for the trees and the grass. We thank thee that thou also watchest over the spider's nightly web spread out upon the grass, and carest for every great and every little thing, and art father and mother to all the things that be. Oh, we thank thee that thou lovest us not only for what we are today, and for the small service we render to each other, but as no earthly father, as no mortal mother loves her only child, so thou lovest us. Not for the service that our hands can render, or our grateful hearts in hymns of thanksgiving can ever pray, but from thine own sweet infinitude of love, pourest out thine affection. Amen.